How many people have life go just like you think it's going to go? Not a hand. Because things seldom go the way we think they're going to. Now, sometimes it actually turns out for the good. Things go much better than we ever anticipated. For me, growing up in my wildest dreams, I could never have imagined being in vocational ministry. But God opened up the opportunities to do it, and it has far exceeded what I thought it would be like. I never dreamed growing up, and at least until 20 years ago, 17 years ago, I never dreamed that I would intentionally move to what was known as the inner city of a metropolis. But I did. It's turned out better than I ever expected. Never in my wildest dreams would I think that area would, through gentrification and neighborhood improvement, turn into be a desirable place to live for other people in addition to myself. God's full of surprises, but not all of the plans that are the unplanned things that happen turn out better than we think. How many people have heard of Murphy's Law? Murphy's Law basically says that whatever can go wrong will go wrong, and at the worst possible moment. And then there are people that say that Murphy was an optimist. They've had the experience that everything goes wrong. I remember at our last church was a guy, he was a small business owner. He was successful in what he did, and he was in his early 50s when he talked to me. He was 53, and he said, "You know, I'm having these pains in my back, and I think that in a couple of years I'm going to sell my business. My wife and I are going to move to Montana. I'm going to buy a ranch, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life fly fishing." Unfortunately, when he was 54, he found out that the pain in his back was not from arthritis. It was misdiagnosed metastatic prostate cancer, and he died before turning 55. He and his wife had these great plans for a future, and that future never materialized, unplanned. And sometimes things just don't go the way we think they will. That's how it was for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, as we saw last week, and we're going to read in the passage again today, had the intention of going to Rome and visiting the Christians. We're going to see that it was his intention that after sharing the gospel throughout Asia, Macedonia, Achaia, planting witnesses for the gospel of Jesus Christ there, Paul's next intention was to go farther west, take the gospel all the way to Spain. And he said that when I go to Spain, I'm going to stop by and I'm going to spend some time with you in Rome. That was his plan. Well, he said, first of all, I've got to go to Jerusalem, and I have to deliver an offering that's been collected for the poor that live in Jerusalem, the people who are undergoing a famine, the people who are struggling. And then after that's done, I'm going to visit you on my way to Spain. Well, Paul did take the offering to Jerusalem. Paul did go to Rome. We saw that when we went through the book of Acts recently. But he didn't go there on his way to Spain as a missionary. He went there in chains as a prisoner because things in Jerusalem didn't go as planned. Paul still got his wish to visit with the Roman Christians, but not in the way that he had intended. And as Paul writes the end of the 15th chapter, the conclusion of the body of the book of Romans, the letter to the Roman church, we see that he fully intends to go as a missionary. But in this letter, he's revealing how the church comes alongside and is a part of the lives of people when life doesn't go as planned. How the church is used by God to, as we're going to see today, encourage, assist, and strengthen those who's finding that life goes sideways. And so let's stand and read these 11 verses that's going to bring this to a conclusion of the body of the letter. And keep your eyes open for the way that Paul sees the church being used in his life, but also in the lives of others. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, And since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them in their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. You may be seated. So the first thing that we see is Paul looking at the church as being a source of encouragement. We see in verse 24, he says that there's no more place for me to work in these regions. We looked at last week Paul's strategy for spreading the gospel and how he took it north and west. And he had gospel outposts all along the way. And so he feels like he's completed his work there. It's not that every person in these areas were saved or that they'd even heard the gospel. But he knew that the gospel witness was there so that the Holy Spirit could work through the churches in those areas to continue spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. He says, I've done my work in these places. I've planted the seeds. And since I have for many years wanted to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. That's because that's where the gospel hasn't been heard yet. Hope to see you while passing through and have you assist me on my journey after I have enjoyed your company for a while. I'm going to hang out in Rome with you guys before I go. Because there's just something about being together with fellow believers that's nourishing, that's replenishing, that's refreshing. And then we see in 31 and 32 where he says that he may pray, ask for prayer that he be kept safe so that when he comes, in your company I will be refreshed. It's really important that we get together as fellow believers in Christ because one of the reasons we do it is to encourage one another. You know, sometimes you go throughout the week and it can be heavy. It weighs you down. Sometimes it's just all you can do to make it through the end of the week. But when we come together corporately to worship God and we see other people making the effort to come together to worship God, it refreshes us, it encourages us, it renews our strength. In the book of Hebrews, written to Jewish believers who had been scattered from Jerusalem, life was tough for them. It was tough to the point where they found it difficult to meet together. And so the writer of Hebrews writes to them, and he says, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and to good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If you remember when Paul was traveling throughout Macedonia, the first place he went to was Philippi. And then from Philippi, he went to Thessalonica. And in Thessalonica, he encountered a lot of opposition from the Jews there. There was persecution, there was trials, there were tribulations. They ran him out of town after 3 weeks. And so a gospel witness took root, but it was very weak and it was in the environment of intense opposition. And so two times in that letter that Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, in chapter 4, he says, therefore encourage one another with these words. And then in chapter 5, it says, therefore again, encourage one another and build each other up. We have this responsibility to encourage people to keep on going, to remain faithful. That's one of the reasons that corporate gathering is important, because this is the environment that we have to interact with one another and to encourage one another in their faith. I want to encourage you today to go downstairs to the fellowship hour. I want you to spend some time having spiritual conversations. I know that baseball season is just starting up, or, you know, the weather is nice and people are starting to think about getting outside, planting gardens. I mean, all these things, those are good, but bring the Lord into it. Encourage one another in their faith. Faith Bible Church has lost a couple of great encouragers over the past few years. Thinking of Howard Inouye and Helen Nagai. And maybe some of you are new enough that you never had the blessing of meeting these people. But when they were here and when they were healthy, they were on a mission. They would look for people to bless. And I know that Howard could be, you know, kind of a little weird in his sense of humor sometime. But he did that for you and for me, to put us at ease, so that our hearts might be open, so that he might bless. We need more Howards and Helens. People who come to church with a mission to find somebody that needs encouragement. Is there anybody here today that does not need encouragement? I didn't think so. We all do. But that's why God has brought us together to worship him publicly, corporately, so that we as a church might encourage one another. Paul saw that the Roman Christians were capable of doing that. Paul had never visited the church in Rome before. He knew several people that were there. He knew what kind of people they were, and he knew that when he went there, he was going to be refreshed. I'd like to say that I know that sometimes for some people, coming to church on Sunday morning can be a challenge. You wake up on Sunday and you think of all the things you've got going on and all the things that you've gone through. When you feel like it the least, you need it the most. When it's the hardest to come is the time that I believe God wants to bless you. So I try to overcome that inertia to stay home on Sunday morning. Because the times you make the effort to come out, I believe that God will meet us there through other people. Now, the church is not just a source of encouragement. We see that it's also a source of assistance. In verse 24, Paul says that I want to come to you not only so that I might be refreshed, but so that you may assist me on my journey to Spain. This word assist is to provision. If you're going to take a trip, if you're going to go on vacation, you put together all the things that you're going to need so that while you're gone, you'll have those things with you. If you're going to be moving to another country, I think like the Bossons in July to Thailand, and even now Dave is talking about getting things in order to take with them. And this is what Paul was anticipating from the Roman church, that he's going to go to Spain, he's going to stop in Rome, and they're going to help him put together the things that he needs for this mission to Spain. A healthy church is involved in the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember when Lois and I went to Japan in 1980, at least the churches down in Vancouver had this model for funding missions that they called Faith Promise. And they would encourage people in the church to pray and ask God how much God wanted them to give to support missionaries. And then they're supposed to keep their eyes open for the way that God brings unexpected things their way to fulfill the promise that they're making by faith. What really ended up happening is that the people make the promises and then the missionaries have to have the faith. Because a lot of times, you know, people are kind of off the hook. We make, this is what we think God wants us to give, but, you know, if it comes, we give it, and if it doesn't, we don't. The general fund from our local church didn't support us at all. And so that was kind of one extreme. I've seen churches, been in churches, that look at their general fund and say, you know, we're going to tithe ourselves. We're going to give 10% of our general fund income, and we're going to devote it to missions. I think that's a good model. But I want to encourage you at Faith Bible Church, if you look at last year's financial statement, 23% of our general fund giving went to missions. If you include the designated gifts that were given for missions through Faith Bible Church, it came up to 41% of all the money that came into FBC went out to missions. The church is to be assisting in the spread of the gospel. And Paul knew that he could count on the Romans to be doing that as well. The church needs to invest in missions. But I would also like to say that missions needs to be investing in the church. The core focus of mission activity in the book of Acts was all about the church. The church is the entity where discipleship takes place. Paul planted churches. The apostles planted churches. And churches took the gospel and replenished themselves. The church is to be assisting in that spread of the gospel around the world. But we look in verse 26, and it's not just the assistance that's offered to missionaries or spreading the gospel. Paul says as well, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there from Macedonia and Achaia. We're pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. A church is to be offering assistance to people in need. What was happening is that there was a famine in Judea. The Christians, especially in Jerusalem, were struggling. There weren't government programs. I mean, it was a Roman government ruling over Jewish people. There weren't programs in place to help people in need. And so when the Christians in Achaia and Macedonia heard about the need that existed in Jerusalem, they voluntarily and generously put together an offering that Paul and representatives from the churches could take there. It's our job as a church to take care of the emergencies and the needs that exist around us. Now, it's an interesting principle, I think, that generosity is rewarded. Remember, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that if we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. And he was encouraging the church. This was about the collection for the poor in Jerusalem. That when we generously invest in meeting the needs of others, God rewards us. And when the time comes for us to be in need, when we've been generous to others, they're so quick to respond and help us in our needs as well. The Jewish church was generous in sharing the gospel with Gentiles around the world. The Gentiles received the gospel and with joy responded by meeting material needs. The church exists to assist. It's a source of encouragement, a source of assistance for kingdom advancement, as well as for caring for the needy. And then finally, we see that the church is a source of strength. Paul knew that even if things had proceeded according to his plan, that he was able to go to Spain, he knew that he had a struggle ahead of him. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying for me. Paul knew that there were challenges ahead of him. He was going back to Jerusalem. Paul was not a popular guy in Jerusalem outside of Christian circles. People there, when he was in Thessalonica, they persecuted him, tried to kill him. When he was in Philippi, there was opposition. In Ephesus, there was opposition from the Jews. Now he's going back to the epicenter. You remember Lord of the Rings, and Frodo has to deliver the ring, right? And he has to take it and throw it into the lava of Mount Doom, located in the center of Mordor. Mordor is where, that was the worst place for Frodo to be. Everything was against him. Jerusalem was Paul's Mordor. Yet that's where he had to go. And he knew that the opposition from the Jews was going to be intense. He says, pray that I might be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea. They were trying to kill him when he was in Macedonia. Imagine now what it was going to be like when he goes back to Jerusalem. But that wasn't his only concern. He says, be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to the Gentiles might be favorably received by the Lord's people there. What? You know, if you show up with money to give people in their time of need, why would they not favorably receive it? Well, in this case, it's because it was coming from Gentiles. Gentile money, we might not need that. It might have been a sense of pride. It might have been a sense of this cultural division that existed between Jews and Gentiles. Even among the church, there was still some underlying tension that existed. Remember on the first missionary journey, Paul went out and he gave an account of how he preached the gospel and the Gentiles responded to the grace of God. And when the Gentiles heard, or when the Jews heard this in Jerusalem, the Jewish leaders understood that that the Spirit of God was at work here, but that there was some challenge that existed among Jewish ordinary lay Christians. And so they attempted to broker a deal that would satisfy both the Jews and the Gentiles. They encouraged the Gentile Christians that they should avoid sexual immorality, and if they eat meat, they should make sure that the blood had been drained from it and that it hadn't been offered to idols. So believe in the gospel, plus do these things, and that'll satisfy the Jews, and then the Jews will welcome you into the family of God. And some of these suspicions and these divisions existed, and Paul was concerned that even though he was bringing cash, that it might not be received by the Christians because of their pride or their distrust of the Gentiles. Paul knew that he had struggles to face. Struggles from within and struggles from without. So what does he do? He turns to the church for prayer. He says, pray for me in my struggle. There is power that comes through prayer. And a church is called to pray for one another. I would encourage you to join the leadership of FBC and pray through the directory. Look at the page that corresponds with the date on the calendar. Today's the 17th. The 17th today is what I call the Nakamura page. We've got a Melissa Nakamura. We've got a Kieko Nakamura. We've got a Rich and Carrie Nakamura. We've got a John and Gloria Nakamura. We've got a couple of other people that we're praying for today as well. You all have a directory. You can all pray. And through prayer, church becomes a source of strength. It's also necessary to be willing to share your needs. You know, sometimes I think we like to appear so capable, so competent, that even if I have a need, well, I'm not going to share it because I don't want people to think that I'm needy. We need to be open and honest. Paul was. He says, pray for me. I've got this huge struggle ahead of me. Join with me, and through your prayers, I have strength. Mina contacts everybody as your page on the directory approaches. Respond to those. Let her know, because she shares those with the church leadership so that we can all be praying specifically. As we share our needs, we support one another. We assist one another with strength. The church is a source of strength that God promises to give through His Spirit according to our prayers. Look at the very end of this verse, of this section of the book of Romans. To a church that fulfills God's design of being an encouraging, assisting, and strengthening church. The God of peace be with you. What a wonderful thing to have the God of peace with us. And just to have, don't you enjoy a peaceful gathering? And again, as I said when I pronounced the benediction, this God of peace, peace is not the absence of conflict. You know, one side waves the white flag and surrenders, and now you have peace. Peace is not the cessation of hostilities. The Jewish concept of peace is a fullness and abundance and underlying satisfaction in life. And that's Paul's wish prayer for the Romans as they encourage, assist, and strengthen, that the God of peace will be with them. And what a great experience to have the God of peace with us. And the God of peace is welcome. The God of peace is evident when a church is encouraging one another, assisting those in need, and spreading the word of God around the world, and finally praying for one another to provide the strength that we all need. So I was thinking about Faith Bible Church in this context. You know, it made me really happy that we are where we're at. I feel like we are relatively encouraging. I think we're doing even a better job of assisting. We're growing in our ability to strengthen one another through prayer. But do we ever do enough? Is there, I don't want to use too many negatives in this sentence. There's always room to go to the next step. And even though we might be up here, I challenge us, let's go up to here. And then the next time we go through the book of Romans, then let's go up to here. And let's not even wait till we go through the book of Romans. Let's continue to strive to lay hold of everything that God has intended for Faith Bible Church to be encouraging, assisting, and strengthening. Let's pray.